Number 10 in the supplement. This is one of the songs that we worked on some last week. I have seen you walk down a dusty road. I have watched you stumble a heavy load. In my heart,
you hear the
This is a first for me tonight. I'm going to do a short talk within 5 minutes. At least that's the goal. When you look up at your ceiling fan in your home, what is it that makes the blades turn? It's an electric motor. And there are many, many different kinds of electric motors. There's DC, direct current, AC, alternating current motors. There are tiny little fractional horsepower motors that would power a Energizer Bunny toy or a remote control car, up to industrial motors, three-phase, 7,200 volt and higher, that run at thousands of horsepower. Huge, humongous motors. Some things that all motors have in common, though, even though some run off of different voltages and frequencies and those kinds of things, some of the things that they have in common is that all electric motors have a current passing through a winding, which creates a magnetic field. And the rotor in the motor chases that magnetic field, and the rotor is attached to the shaft. And as it chases that magnetic field, it turns the shaft. And the motion of the shaft is what gives us the motion to perform the work desired by that particular motor. Now, each motor is designed to operate at a specific voltage, a specific frequency, a specific current, RPM, and so forth, and within a certain environment. And like I said, there's thousands and thousands of different sizes of motors and purposes and so forth. But if you operate an electric motor as it's designed in that environment that it's designed for, at the frequency and the voltage and current and so forth, depending on the motor, sometimes they can last for many, many years. Even in an industrial environment. I worked industrial maintenance for 9.5 years, and we had motors that lasted for years. But on the other hand, if you operate a motor at a higher voltage than it's designed for, or a lower voltage than it's designed for, or at a different frequency, or put it in an environment that it's not designed for, you're going to shorten the life of that motor, and you may destroy it completely and very quickly, depending on how badly misuse that motor. Eaton Corporation, where Daryl works and where I used to work, they design, manufacture, and sell industrial motor control equipment. Their whole purpose for existing is to build equipment that will protect these huge electric motors, industrial three-phase, 2300, 4160, 7200 volt, huge motors. And built into their equipment, they have programmable controllers that have programs designed for over voltage protection, over current protection, under voltage protection, over and under current protection. If the frequency gets off, if there's a spike, lightning, startup protection, there's all kinds of protection built into those programmable controllers, and Daryl could tell you about that. And the reason there's such a industry for that is because these electric motors are very expensive, very expensive, and they want to protect them. They want them to last as long as they can last. All right. What does Genesis chapter 1 have to do with electric motors? Only this. If a motor is used as it's designed to be used, then it'll function properly and do what it's designed to do. If it's misused, then you're going to have problems. We are the same way. We have been designed for a specific purpose, for a specific function. And if we work within the parameters of how we've been designed to work, then things will go well with us. If we don't, they won't. Just a few passages, then we'll be through. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created us. He designed us. The men who design motors know those motors better than anybody else. God designed us. He knows us better than anybody else. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. "Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices." God made us upright. He designed us for a specific function, but we have found and sought many devices. That is, we have desired to run contrary to the way God has designed that we should be run. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to read it, but verses 18, basically through the end of that chapter, talk about what happens to men when they run contrary to the way they've been designed. This passage talks about people who suppress the truth, people who deny the very existence of God, people who worship the creature rather than the Creator, and this kind of abandonment of how we are designed to function and work causes us to do things so far out in left field, as is mentioned in this passage, people involving themselves in homosexuality, which is contrary to nature, completely opposed to the way we're designed. That's just an example. One more passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy, God says. God created us in His own image. He says here that He is holy. So we are to strive to be like God. We are to strive to be holy. And if we are holy, if we're striving to be holy, then we're doing what we're designed and we're designed to do. If we do anything different from that, then we're running on high voltage or low voltage, or we got a phase out. Something's wrong, and we're not going to function the way we were designed to function. If you are not a Christian, you're not running the way you were designed to run. If you'd like to do something about that tonight, then please come forward at the invitation song. If you are a Christian and you realize that you're out of step with God's design for your life and would like to make that right, in either case, please come forward as we stand and sing.
God calling, yet shall I not hear? Earth's pleasure shall I still hold.
Just a quick explanation here to some who are visiting. We do have some visitors tonight. Last week we started a singing class. We are using some time now as a class period to learn some songs in the supplement book. And we went through several songs last week, and we're going to go back through those songs tonight, singing through. Maybe we won't spend a lot of time on them tonight. On some we spent a little bit of time last week. We'll see what we know of those and see if we can move a little bit farther into some songs that we haven't done yet. And so that's going to be kind of our plan here tonight for the next little while. Let's turn to number one in the supplement book. Number one.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Very good. Number two. We'll spend just a moment again on this song. Again, remember, it's familiar words, but the tune in this book is different than what we're used to in the other. And there's nothing wrong with the other. It's just this perhaps puts a new twist on an old song, something that's a little bit refreshing. And I want us to think about just for a second and be able to recognize again the difference, because it can be kind of confusing. In the other book, we're familiar, you can sing along with this. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's the way we know the song, right? That's the other book. This book. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The bass and the tenor are different on this too. It's kind of that driving bass again. I heard somewhere picking that up. Let's go back just the bass here again. Goes sort of like this. It goes sort of like how? Let's thank you. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's not real hard. It's just a little bit of a driving bass that goes through there. And again, it kind of adds the foundation to the song. All right, let's put this together again, and we'll sing through the first verse and third verse this time. Let's just get this pitch again. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high. Just a refreshing memory, or a refreshing tune to an old song. Same words, just changes the melody and bass a little bit. All right, number four. Number four. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Us to work on parts here just a little bit, the bass mainly. I'm not going to try alto or any tenor, but just the bass. We noticed last week that like when the song starts, it says unison. That is, we're all singing the same thing. Okay, and it gets over to the end of the first line, and it breaks into parts. just through that line, and then it goes back to unison again, and then back to parts when it gets down to the battle belongs to the Lord. And I want us to go through this again. We'll start the same way, but I am going to sing the bass when we come to the bass part. I hear some guys, like, you're trying to do that. You can do it. It's an easy run. Let's just practice that through a little bit here as we go. Okay, let's like this.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
That's a wonderful song. It's kind of one of those songs that as Christians, here we are singing this together in a way that I'm hoping is uplifting. As we learn the song, the melody, and when we get to the point, we're not so worried about are we singing it right, where we start focusing on the words of the song, which, of course, is the purpose and the goal. We realize what we're saying to each other here, and we sing a song like this. You know, when we're saying, because all of us struggle at times, all of us have enemies that work against us. And when we can say to each other, when your enemy presses in hard, don't fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that, don't we? Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And that's what we're telling each other when we're singing that song. It's a song of encouragement, one for another. Just something to think about as we start becoming more familiar with the songs. Number five, we're not going to sing that right now, but someone made the comment, well, that song looks just like the songs, old song we used to know, and you're right, it is. There's no new melody or no new tune to this song. That's just farther along as we've always known it. That's all it is, and we're probably familiar with that. Number six, magnify. We did work on this song a little bit last time. We talked about in the latter part of the song that there's some places that you have to take some breath, that you have to have a quick pause and get a breath. And we'll try to notice that again as we go through. We get down to the bottom line, cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. And it has repeat bars. And we go back and we say that again, cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. And above that it says RIT, that's abbreviation for retard or slow down on the last verse. And should the song leader, who is the one who determines if you slow down or not and how much, if he should choose to slow down, then you just slow down. Just follow the song leader on whether you retard on that or not. This is a song of praise.
Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God and Father. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God. Christ's image, we ever strive to be like Him. He alone is holy, He alone is righteous. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God and Father. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God. He has given us His Son to save us, now reconciled to be like Him. Give Him praise forever, honor and revere Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God and Father. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God. He will bring us to His wondrous glory, to perfect fellowship with Him. We will see His wonder, we will see His beauty. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him.
That's a good one, isn't it? That's just a powerful song of praise. Song leaders, if you choose to retard on the last phrase, that's fine. Just remember to unretard when you start the next verse. Pick it back up. And that's the only concern sometimes when you have a slower ending. You've got to get back into speed when you come back to that next verse. Okay, let's see. We did number 10 already tonight. Let's go to number 12. Again, we're looking at some songs that we tried to focus on last week. Number 12. I want you to think about, when we sing this song, the words of this song, just what does it remind you of? What thoughts does this bring to your mind?
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. While all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care, and everywhere that man can be, Thou God art present there. Amen.
aching about anything? What's on your mind, Rick? Yeah, creation. You can think about God just speaking all things into existence. What else? What else do you think of when you read these words and sing these words? Yeah, God's unlimited power. I mean, how else could this all have come to be? I mean, God's power is just, it's just more than we can imagine. But words like this, I can never put words together this way. But when I see words like this and I read words like this, it helps me to understand and appreciate a little bit more the power of God. Beautiful song. Number 13. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Amen on that. Number 15. We didn't work on this at all last week. We're just going to see where we are and see if anyone knows it. We may find out if I know it or not as we get into this. This is another praise type song. One of the songs that to me is just kind of over the top as far as the words that are being expressed. And like we talked a little bit last week, and while, again, that this is not particularly being at this point or meaning to be a music theory class, we said sometimes a good song is made better when the music helps us to highlight certain points, certain words. And this song is written in that way. Makes it in some ways a little more difficult to sing. But as you'll see as we get into the song, sometimes you can use different effects of being louder or being softer to try to bring out the point of the song. It's much like when we are speaking with someone. There are times we get loud and there's times we're quiet. It's a point of emphasis. I mean, in preaching, certainly that's so. I know how to get your attention sometime by being loud. Or it's amazing how people wake up if you don't say anything. It just gets awkward, doesn't it? But it gets your attention. And so you see, sometimes if a song, the music of a song, can help to emphasize the point that the words are trying to say. And this song is written that way. Now, it does make it a little bit harder to sing. There's some things we have to learn as we go through the song. But it is such an incredible song in what it says that I think it's worth our time to look at that. Let's just try to sing it through here, verse, and just see how we go with this.
Known before the world, glimpsed by righteous men, Son of God, sent as David's heir, granted all the earth, exalted, seen with blinded eyes, met with wicked hearts, Son of God, worshipped with contempt, throned upon the cross, exalted, scorned by those who watched, loved with envy, leave Son of God, born to take my death, Jesus, Son of God, exalted, exalted.
Powerful. Just a powerful song. And we see how dynamics in the song help us to emphasize the words of the song. And that wasn't quite as hard as I thought it might be. I think we did okay with that. And we were able to emphasize some important things. Can we spend just a moment still on this song? Let's just listen carefully. Look at these words. Known before the world, glimpsed by righteous men, Son of God, sent as David's heir, granted all the earth, exalted. Speaking, of course, of Jesus, the Son of God, who was known before we were, who was known before the world. He was indeed involved in creation of things as we know it. He was glimpsed by righteous men, Son of God, sent as David's heir. As Scripture would tell us, to sit on David's throne, granted all the earth, exalted. But verse 2, seen with blinded eyes, met with wicked hearts, Son of God, worshipped with contempt, throned upon a cross, exalted. Almost makes me want to say, exalted? How can we say exalted? He was throned upon a cross. But indeed, exalted. Because this was part of the eternal plan. This is what Jesus did willingly, was go to the cross. And even if not in the eyes of men at that time, in the eyes of God, exalted, even on the cross, scorned by those who watched, loved within belief, Son of God, born to take my death, Jesus, Son of God. How could we not say exalted? The song ends with us exclaiming, exalted, exalted. Even though the world thought that they had put him away, Satan thought he won. for a little while. But he was exalted. Powerful song? Yeah. Powerful, isn't it? You want to do it again? You're right.
The echo, they're actually singing something different.
It's a response. I'm glad you said that. You know, what the tenor and bass are saying, I think this would be the way to say it, they're almost echoing a response to what the lead is saying. The first verse, look at this, known before the world. And the men say, seen in future days, there's a plan that was here. Glimpsed by righteous men, and the bass is singing, the Son of God, sent as David's heir, and the bass say, named an ageless king, granted all the earth. It's all sung together as a point of emphasis. And so that's right. That's interesting. The response that's being made by the men to the melody that's being sung. Just add some extra emphasis. Let's try to emphasize some of the dynamics of the song a little bit more this time. And let's notice how that fits the words and how that actually helps to highlight the words.
Known before the world, glimpsed by righteous men, Son of God, sent as David's heir, granted all the earth, exalted, blinded eyes, met with wicked hearts, Son of God, worshipped with contempt, throned upon a cross, exalted, scorned by those who watched, loved within belief, Son of God, born to take my death, Jesus, Son of God, exalted, exalted.
How do you top that? Incredible song. Let's skip over a few pages to number 38. Number 38. There's some songs in between there. We're going to go back and pick up. But I wanted to introduce you to this song. As some have sometimes said back in Tennessee, would you sing that apple song again? This kind of became a favorite of some. And again, it's listen to the words as we sing this song. It's a teaching kind of song. It's a reminder kind of song. If sometimes we become discouraged because we have tried to talk to people about the gospel, maybe sometimes with not the success that we would always want to have, well, sometimes we just don't know what success is being had. And you keep planting the seed, so to speak. We've talked about that a lot in our Sunday and Wednesday class, planting the seed. And you just keep planting and planting and planting, and sometimes you just don't know where that's going to go and what it'll lead to. Well, Let's look at this song here. Let's see what it teaches us.
In the fruitful tree there is an apple, deep within the apple many seeds. So the Father set all things in order, knowing just what everything would need. You may count the seeds within the apple. You may count the apples on the tree. You may count the trees within the orchard. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how much the fruit will grow? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? From the mind of God before creation, from the heart of heaven's mercy's plan, bringing peace to every tribe and nation, heaven's hope for lost and dying man. God would take the brightest star of heaven, send him down to hang upon a tree. Tell the world that Jesus is redemption. Say he came to pardon you and me. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? Do not doubt that someone will believe it, though 100 hear and turn away. For if only one heart will receive it, through the one 1,000 may obey. It may be a gentleman of 90, it may be a child of only 10. So the precious seed for the Almighty, you can watch it multiply again. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed?
Well, it reminds us something about our work this week, that there is seed to be sown, and we don't know what it will produce, but we keep planting the seed. And as we do so, the Lord will give increase. We'll talk some more about that song, and we'll work some more on that perhaps at another time. But our time is gone, and we're going to end with that tonight right there. Appreciate your good participation tonight, and I feel like we're making some good progress on these songs. Before we dismiss, we are going to be led in prayer. Is there anything we need to make mention of before we bow in prayer? Okay, let us pray together then.